B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
One of the great men of football. We talked to him a couple months ago, and he was kind enough to talk about Harold Carmichael, and now the coach at Arizona State, and just enjoying everything with the great Herm Edwards on the Comcast Business Hotline. Herm, how you holding up, man?
I'm okay. I'm still getting here at 4 a.m, working out, trying to look at certain scenarios of when we might get back to playing football and practicing football again. And so, you're always dealing with schedules, trying to practice schedules together and meeting schedules and when we can get them back on campus. But I think the first thing is that we all have to be very, very aware of this thing is it's an invisible opponent. And it's everywhere, in cities like yourself in Philly and in New York and out in California. We're in Arizona right now. It's not as bad, but this thing is real, man. And we got to make sure that we protect all those that we love. That's important. We're all on the same team.
Amen, brother.
We're all on the same team right now, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny you're talking about watching the Miracle of Meadowlands, the game. Fans probably didn't realize there was no high definition back in those days, right? No high definition, man.
What's crazy is going back and watching, and we're doing this because we're stars for sports, as you can well imagine.
Sure.
And it takes people's minds off of things.
Yeah, it does.
We relive a game every day, and this one, Herm, it was crazy. It's just, man, the style of play, it's amazing how much the game, right?
Yep, different. Different. The game was played inside the numbers.
Yeah.
A lot of running, a lot of play action football. Now the game is played in space. The players are more athletic. And I'm not saying we weren't athletic back in our day. I still think I could play it in today's world. But, the big guys now are more athletic, and you don't see those linebackers that are always playing the run. Now the linebacker, you have to play the pass. They always have 4 to 5 defensive backs in the game because people spread you out and they make you tackle in the space. And I think, and you guys know this, you guys follow sports, you guys are smart. The quarterback has really changed now, the ability to run. The college system is kind of starting to come in to pro football, and that is worrisome for defensive coordinators, because before you never had to count the quarterback as part of the offense. He either threw the ball or he handed the ball off.
Right.
Now the ability to run the ball, man, with some of these quarterbacks that are very athletic makes it tough on defenses.
I mean, and it's so tough because they can extend plays. The great ones, like Mahomes.
Yes.
And I see Kyler Murray, who's out there by you watch that kid. He's extending plays to throw it down the field. And you know better than anybody, because you played that position, how hard it is to cover for all that time.
It's tough. And Randall was a little bit of that when we got Randall in Philly. He kind of played on the edge a little bit. But not as much as the guys do now. With the RPO systems, and they spread you out, man. It makes you. If you can't tackle, you're in trouble. You got to be a good tackler in space now. If you can't tackle, boy, you're gonna be in trouble. It's gonna be a long day for you defensively.
It's so true. So take us back to that game up the Meadowlands. And first of all, how shocked were you that there was no kneel down?
Well, here's what happened. You probably watched the game. If fans are watching the game on television, it's one thing. When you watch the highlights, you just think, well, why didn't they kneel? Well, they actually did 2 plays prior to the fumble. They took a knee, and Bill Berger, our middle linebacker, he knocked Clack into Pisarcik, and there was a little bit of a scrum, and you don't see that on television because they don't show that, all right? And so officials came in and broke us up, and then Joe – at that point, goes over and they're talking, and the week before this, I know this story because Joe told me the story because, Pisarcik became an Eagle.
Right.
He was on our – okay, so you kind of hear the story from the other side of it when Joe comes to us, and so he says, the week prior to that, Coach called in a play, and Joe didn't run it, And coach got mad and say, look, when I call a play, look, you run it. You don't check off. He's wrong what I say. So that was in his mind. And so a lot of the guys in the huddle said, look, let's just run the ball. And they ran it the next play. They actually ran it the next play, okay? And so they ran it, you know, and then the next play, you know, guys are saying, well, let's take a knee. And they're going, no, we got to run this. We got to run it again, you know. And so there's this conversation in the huddle with the Giant players, and all of a sudden they break the huddle, and the clock is running down. And Joe's kind of like, you know, well, you know, we should. The players say take a knee, and Joe's like, I run the play. And so Zonka's the tailback, man. He's the tailback, you know. And you can, and I'm looking because it's a tight formation, and Kodar's the wing. And I'm talking to Kodar and telling him, hey, man, and God bless him. And, you know, Doug has passed away since then. And I shook his hand and said, hey, man, we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We'll play him in a couple of weeks, you know. And so what happens is the ball is, like, bobbled on the snap because Joe's kind of looking at Bronca, and the clock's starting to run down. And Clack, who's the center, he hikes a little bit before Joe anticipates the snap. So the ball is already being bobbled. And I kind of see that. Now, Kodar's not blocking me because he's just thinking, man, they going to take a knee. Well, lo and behold, Joe goes around and tries to give it to Zonka, and it hits off his hip. And so I just come off the side, man. I see this happening, and I'm going, if I can get – my mind is telling me to get it on the first bounce. And it hits one bounce, and Joe is kind of reaching out for the ball. And the last thing I hear from Joe is he's screaming, oh, no. I catch it on the bounce, you know, and no one knows this. And I'm running in. And now the really funny part about the story is this. It says, you know, Coach Ramirez, who's our coach, you know, I love Dick like a dad.
Yeah.
And he's on the sideline, and he's got Jaws and Carmichael and Wilbur and all those guys. And he's talking to them. So his back is turned away. And he's saying, hey, look, we might get one more play. If we can make them punt, we'll get one more play. And he's talking about all this stuff, and players are leaving the bench, running. He grabs me and says, where you guys going? And he says, Coach, Herm just scored a touchdown. So he turns around. So he didn't even see it. He didn't see play. He was coaching, man.
Oh, my God. That's outrageous.
Yeah, so that's kind of what transpired, you know. And then after that, obviously, the knee came into play and the victory formation where they put the guy behind – you know, the quarterback. I mean, that the next week, that came into vogue, and that was in 1977, and that's what everyone does now.
Wow. You know what's
It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Here's the funny part. So when I become, like, the head coach, you know, of the Jets, and so, we're going through, you know, the week, and, you know, we're putting in all the stuff, you know, the Hail Mary and all these plays, and I said, why do they have this formation? You know, this victory thing. Like, you know, a bunch of rookies are sitting there trying to figure out, yeah, that's just victory formation. I said, well, why did this happen? Well, why did this all take place? And they're kind of sitting there, and I put the tape on, and sure enough, I saw them to play, right? And they all kind of look around and say, Coach, that was you. I said, yeah, that was me, man. I picked up the ball. So I did the same thing when I took the job here, man, at Arizona State. Now, these kids weren't even born.
Yeah, right.
They weren't even born, man. And they kind of looking, and they're going, Coach, that was you. And I said, yeah, that was me. How about that?
That is so awesome,
it's a lesson learned, hopefully.
That's a great coaching tool, though. It's like, look, man, all right, I was Johnny on the spot, man. That's who I
You hear it all the time, too. Coaches say the game's never over till it's over, man, you know, and just keep playing. Just keep playing until the clock says you can't play anymore.
That's amazing. What was it? What was it like afterwards? Like, because that was a huge game, wild card ramifications.
It was. It got us in the playoffs. Actually,
wow.
You know, it was a game we needed to win, and that was the first year we got in the playoffs in '78 with Dick. And you know, Leonard Toast was in the hospital. That was our owner then. He was having heart surgery actually, and he was listening to the game. They had heart surgery or something, and he was in his bed, and he was listening to the game on radio, and he was telling everybody, well, you guys trying to give me another heart attack or what, right? And it was surreal in the sense that it's one of those deals that you're kind of like, what just happened? You know, and everyone's kind of, I remember the stadium went silent. It was unbelievable. The stadium just went silent, and going in the locker room, you know, everybody's trying to figure out what just happened, right?
Right.
And it's one of those deals, man. I was fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time and, you know, make a play for the team. And that's how you look at it, you know. And,
yeah.
But it's amazing that, you know, that happened in 1978. And, you know, people still talk about it.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I mean, it's one of the most amazing things ever. Yeah, we do. You know, there's like three miracles in the Meadowlands now. There's right. The Westbrook right. punt return, the yep. DeSean Jackson bomb. Yep. But, like, you're right. the original. you know, Herm, I don't even realize is that you guys had the ball. You got a turnover. With a yeah. chance to go, and then Jaws throws a pick, or else you yep. guys win it before the miracle.
Right. It says a lot of things in that game. It was on a seesaw game that kind of went back and forth, you know, and it's funny, you know, what happens is, you know, and this is in 1978, so this is my second year in the league. And so when you're playing ball, you just play ball. And, you know, we always say, you know, sports is always moments and memories, right? That's what sports presents.
Yeah.
It's all fans and the players. It's sport, that's what it boils down to, you know. And moments and memories, people remember those things for some reason. And
yeah.
when you think about it, you do it when it happens in your career. You don't think about it. Like, you know, it's just kind of, and then you retire and you go on with your life. But it's amazing. You know, when you go on television, you work for ESPN, you do so much traveling. I was traveling from California to Bristol, you know, making that commute all the time. You know, a lot of airports, and you just see a lot of people. And it's amazing how many people walk up to you and say, "Hey, coach, I remember the play." And you look at them, you go, "What?" And like some of them, I go, "You're not old." And go, "Yeah, coach, I was 6 years old, man. I was watching with my dad, you know. And my dad was throwing stuff at the television." You hear all these stories, you know, and it's just it connects so many people that it's just unbelievable, you know. And it becomes kind of, is it a defining moment in my career? I guess a little bit in the fact that, you know, you do something unusual. But it's funny, you know, playing in Philly all those years, you know, never missed a start, never missed a practice, all that. Had 38 interceptions.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're no right. one ever talked yeah. about that.
No.
It's just one play, and it's yeah. kind of like, I get it, you know, I get it, and I was fortunate enough to do it in Philly, you know, and you talk about a passionate city, a well-versed city as far as sports, a very knowledgeable city. You couldn't do it in a bigger place, and it happened in New York.
Yes, yes.
I mean, those two stories collide, and it is what it is, you know.
Right, your whole, you know, you have an incredible career, you know, an all-pro career, but that play is probably a top five play in the history of the NFL. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, yeah, yeah, you're funny. You know, it's funny you say that because all of a sudden, you know, when you're working at Bristol, you're working in Bristol, right? And I knew Chris Berman and all those guys very well because Chris interviewed me back in 1980 when we were going to the Super Bowl when ESPN was just kind of starting. And lo and behold, you know, when those guys were up there talking about, we're going to, you know, have the top 10 plays, and they say, "Coach, you're always going to be in the top 10. I said, "Okay, as long as I'm in the top 10, I'm good." So that's no, funny. You get that out of that, right?
Oh my God, it's awesome! You got to tell people how. I mean, it's funny. Jaws got wrecked a couple of plays, and they were saying how he got beat up the week before.
Yeah,
and it was interesting because even Sonny Jurgensen was calling the game, and he said, "Look, yeah. look, we have to protect the quarterbacks." And all I keep thinking about is the guys were getting crushed back then.
Oh my God!
Right?
You know now, you know, I mean, the rules have changed. Obviously, you got to protect the quarterback because you know, money's a big factor in this too. I mean, you pay a guy $30-20 million, you know, that's a lot of your salary cap. And if that guy goes down in today's game, because the pass has really become, you know, it's what we do. I mean, you know, you run to win, you've got to throw to score points. So that's part of it. But the quarterback is like, he's the guy, you know. And I mean, look, the mindset on defense is real simple. I want to see the second string guy play.
Right? Yeah.
If you knock the first guy out, then the second string guy comes in. He's probably hadn't taken the reps the first string guy has. There's a reason there's a first string quarterback and a second string quarterback.
Right.
And so, you know, you pay that guy so much money that your whole offense changes dramatically when that guy's out. You know, and that's why you got to protect the guy, because then the game is bad.
Yeah.
If that quarterback got hurt 25 years ago, the game stayed the same. You can run the ball, you can do some things. Well, now the game is a game of why we talked about earlier. Spread people out and you throw the ball. You know, people want to see scoring.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. They want to see scoring. Now, they want to see defense in the last 3 minutes of when you're winning the game. Hold them, defense, hold them. But other than that, they want to see athletic players play in space. That's what they do, whether it's running backs, whether it's wide receivers, tight ends, whether it's defensive backs, you know, trying to cover those guys, linebackers trying to cover those guys. I mean, it's become a skill league of elite athletes at every position.
Basketball turf, man, basketball grass, basketball.
It's unbelievable. Man.
It is. I mean, think about it. To your point, when Wentz goes down in the playoff game against Seattle this past year, that was it. They had no shot to win the game. They had all field position in the world. They weren't going to win without Wentz. They couldn't.
No, it's just too hard. I mean, you have an offense that predicated. You build your offense around the quarterback, and you know the second string guy doesn't get those reps, and all of a sudden, the first guy goes down, you adjust. I mean, half your offense is out. If you got to just stop. Because you can't run the same offense with the other guy because you're going to fail. And you're going to put the guy in a position where he fails, right? And the problem is, if you got a team that has a pretty good quarterback, you're behind the eight ball. Now your defense has to pick it up. Your defense has to steal some possessions for your quarterback. You got to steal some possessions. You got to take the ball away. You got to do something to steal an extra possession or two for the other quarterback that's coming in. I mean, that becomes part of the mindset.
Oh, it's so true. So true. Hey, last thing, and Herm, you're the greatest, man. We love you. And especially like during times like this where we're living through history, you know?
Oh,
I mean, this
boy,
is something that is so monumental that we're living in through history right now. So a voice like yours, very inspirational. You still have, I mean, you know, you're forever a coach, you know? And it's a calming thing. And I'm sure in your own, I know it hasn't, thank God, you guys are still, you know, it's not as bad there. But I think people need our leaders, and they need guys like you, the coaches, the inspirational coaches, to make people feel at ease a little bit.
Well, you make a great point, and I just think that's part of being a leader. You know, in moments like this, you have to stay calm, knowing because we live in a world, in this great world, and especially in the United States, where we have the ability to just do things on our own. You know, we have the flexibility of just your day is your day. And now all of a sudden, people are telling you your day is not your day. There's some requirements, right?
Right.
We're an open society, right? And you know, it's kind of ironic because I was texting my players, you know, I try to text them about every other day because they're all sitting around too. And there's a couple things I told them this week. Last week I said, you know what's important and manage your time and attitude. That's one thing. You can take care of the little things right now. Make sure you focus your time and energy on things that make you better. And then the last thing is do not let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do.
Wow.
And I just think if you can live by that, you know, you got a way of kind of getting through this a little bit, you know, and that's important. I think it's very, very important that we understand that. You find a lot of time now. You know, we live in a noisy world when you think about it.
Yeah.
There's no noise. There's no noise.
Yes. Wow.
Right?
You're
there's
so
no noise.
Right.
I mean, there's no noise. I mean, I look out my window. I'm in the office. I look out my window, you know, and there's always traffic, and you can see the freeway, and you see cars. I told my wife like day before yesterday, you know, because you know, all of a sudden we're watching Mass on television, right?
Yeah.
We're sitting in our living room watching Mass on television, and so I told my wife, I said, you know, every day now is like a Sunday.
Wow.
There's no traffic. There's no noise. We live in a noisy world. We do. And now it's quiet. And that's a little bit of a like, ooh, what is this? Well, this is the time that we can all reflect. We can all reflect now. You know, enjoy the quiet. Because it's going to get noisy again.
Yeah.
Right? But right now it's quiet. Everything's quiet. Let me think about it. Right?
Oh, go outside. Every like, day's a Sunday. You're right. That's so true.
That's what I told my wife yesterday. We're watching Mass on television. But you know, girl, listen, you know, every day is a Sunday. If you just imagine every day being what Sunday looks like, it's Sunday morning. It's real calm. I mean, if there's a game or something, I get
that.
But I'm just saying, every day, like, it's a Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no traffic. It's quiet. We're not used to that.
No, we're not. We're not used to that at all. Amazing. It's true. And it's beautiful words, by the way. Hey, I got one last thing, I promise. But
sure.
You got to have a kid. The Eagles need a wide receiver bad. You got a kid that's going to be in the draft. Tell us about Brandon a little bit, because I think he's going to go probably, what, second, third round.
Yeah, he's got a chance. There's no doubt. He was a JC guy coming in. So, you know, his arrow was pointing up because he wasn't a 4-year guy. He's a JC guy coming in. And he sat behind, you know, he wasn't the star. N'Keal Harry was the star who went the first round to New England. So he kind of took his spot. Very explosive with the ball in his hand now. Very explosive. Can make big plays in space. He's a space. He's perfect for the NFL. He really is. He's perfect because he's a return guy, punter, kickoff, but also he can move him around. We moved him around. He played outside, inside. He's about 195, 200 pounds.
Nice.
Very, very, you know, quick and has really good speed. Not going to take the top off it, but really fast. I mean, fast enough in space you can't tackle him. Big hands. Great athleticism as far as can jump up for the contested ball, has great body control for the ball. He's a hand catcher. He's not a, you know.
I like those guys. I like hand catchers.
Yeah.
I don't like those guys that are looking into their chests.
No. He's a hand catcher. He can pluck it. So he's going to have a good career because he's a young guy. You know, he's just learned how to play football, to be quite honest. So, you know, arrows are pointing up. And he's a good kid, too. Hard worker, the whole nine yards. He's going to be a good player.
That's awesome. Herb, you're the greatest, man. Thank you so much for joining us and during
my
this time.
My pleasure, my friend. And all those good folks in Philly, y'all hang in there, man. The sun's going to come up, and this day will end, man. Let's just protect all those that we love the most. You know, that's kind of important. Like I said, we're all on the same team.
God bless, man. That's right, baby. Appreciate it, Herb.
All right, brother.
The best. Later. Herb Edwards, that's right, on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.